Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing fabulous. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Any announcements?
Well, the announcement is we keep getting questions about where are your extra episodes? You guys must be making them. They're all at Patreon, right? Patreon.com/Generation Y. Head over there and you'll get commentary. You'll get extra episodes, stuff you haven't heard before. And there's a lot of it. We've been doing this since 2017 on Patreon.
Go subscribe. You can check out the latest and greatest stuff from us. And you're supporting us directly. So it's very much appreciated. So Aaron, tonight's case is, people that live normal, quiet, successful lives should not choose lives of crime. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I would put it as don't get greedy. That would be my statement on this case.
So with that, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight, we'll be discussing the September 1st, 2016 attempted murder of Greg Mulvihill in Carlsbad, California.
Carlsbad, California is a coastal town. Very affluent or rich area, but it's a beautiful little city that is right up against the beach and the ocean. And on this fateful day, Greg and his friend Jason Kovac were going to meet a private investigator to possibly purchase some information. And they're meeting him in sort of a remote area. It's actually up on a hill. People might jog up there, might hike up there, but it's off the beaten path by a little bit. So Greg and Jason pull up in his car. They're looking around and Greg thinks he sees someone. And at that point, bullets start raining down on them. Somebody is shooting at them with a rifle and Greg is hit. Greg's friend Jason will take cover and call 911. And start telling the dispatcher, somebody's ambushed us, they're shooting at us, please send help. That's where this story kind of went off the rails for Greg and what happened in his life. But In order to understand how we got here, we have to back up a little bit and talk about Greg and his lovely wife, Diana Lovejoy.
They met in 2005 via a dating website. And it's one of those relationships where at the beginning, everybody said, they're a perfect match for each other. I think that's because they had a lot of similar interests and they had eyes for each other right from the start. They got married a couple of years later. Then in 2012, they had a son. But around that time, they were attending counseling. They were working on their relationship. They had some challenges.
Diana had actually had several miscarriages, I think up to 8. They had been trying to get pregnant. They had been trying to have a child. And then when she finally was able to get pregnant and give birth, it almost was the curse. You know, it hadn't worked for so many times that now they actually have what they want. And it seemed to dissolve their marriage and their relationship.
Another pressure that they had was Greg was, according to him, forced into unemployment. And Diana was supporting the family as a software technical writer.
She also had a side gig as a YouTube personality where she would do cooking shows. And let me tell you, Aaron, her acting skills were amazing.
Is that sarcasm or was she really good?
It's sarcasm.
Okay.
Look up Diana Lovejoy YouTube video. It's pretty phenomenal.
Diana also believed that she had health issues. One of them was fibromyalgia. And she also believed her son was ill. But I don't know. It seemed like she wasn't really willing to be checked by specialists.
It's alluded to that it could have been like hypochondria, could have been more of a mental issue and not an actual physical issue. But mind over matter. And if you think you're sick, your body will follow.
So, of course, when she was treating their son with massive doses of medicine that Greg didn't feel his son needed, well, that was just another hurdle for this couple.
Yeah.
But this really is where things stepped up because Diana started to accuse Greg of things. She made allegations.
Yeah, she could kind of see the writing on the wall. I think that she was looking for a divorce. So now she's saying that Greg is being abusive towards her and their child.
July of 2014 is when Diana got a temporary restraining order against her husband. She was claiming that he had sexually assaulted both her and their son. So Greg was forced to move out and was often found sleeping in his car. He could only see his son during supervised visits.
Child Protective Services came in and they took these allegations seriously. They don't know much about Greg besides what they're hearing from Diana. So they have to investigate this. They have to give him both a background check, psychiatric evaluations, a whole slew of things that Greg has to do in order to even see his child while living out of his car.
Now, during all of this, Diana was making more than $9,000 a month, and Greg, when he worked, was making less, and he moved into an apartment. Now, they had to settle this child custody issue, and because he's being accused of all these things, it looks to be a tough battle here. But Greg got 50% custody of their son in November of 2015 after an investigation found her accusations to be unfounded.
Greg had been paying Diana $900 a month for child support. But after these allegations and everything are resolved, well, the judge says, Diana, you have to pay Greg $113 a month in child support. So not only is Greg not paying her any child support, but he gets money from her. And that, of course, is going to make her very upset.
Yes, and these payments are supposed to start February 1st, 2016.
It's always terrible to see divorces happen just in general. It doesn't even matter if it's amicable or not. But then when they turn ugly and when there's kids involved, lawyers get involved, the court systems get involved, and it just turns into a battle. And I always look at that and just think it's a perfect storm. It's a formula for violence against each other at that point, because now it's a you against them situation, and your child is the pawn in this chess match.
Everything is on the line. Children, finances, everything. So what happens when people are now against each other, right? They start looking for who's on my side. Mm-hmm. Diana, she met a man by the name of Weldon McDavid in 2015. She had gone to a shooting range in Oceanside called Iron Sights. And Weldon McDavid was a Marine, or at least a former Marine. And he also owned McDavid Firearms Training. So McDavid started to assist Diana with firearms training, self-defense lessons, and he even installed a security system in her home.
He's a gun enthusiast. He's an instructor, and he has a military background, has a background in security and all of these things. And when he trains some of these women how to shoot a gun, they will tell them about their partners and their abusive exes, or how an ex-boyfriend or husband is stalking them. And of course, McDavid thinks, well, that's terrible. How could someone do that to you? I can help.
Diana started confiding in him. And eventually, when that court had ruled that Greg didn't sexually assault Diana or their child, Weldon McDavid got pretty upset about that, because all along, Diana's telling him this happened.
And Weldon believes her. Weldon takes her word for it.
But Weldon and Diana are exchanging phone calls and messages, and they're seeing a lot more of each other.
And at the time, Weldon was married.
June 26, 2016, Greg and Diana entered into what's known as a marital settlement agreement. Diana wanted the house, so she got to keep that, but she needed to pay Greg a community property equalization payment of $120,000 in 90 days by September 25th of that year. And, well, she had to come up with that money by refinancing their community residence or selling a condo that Diana owned in Encinitas. But Justin, this is a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, she's essentially buying Greg out of his share of the property. That's the whole point. And she doesn't want to do it.
And on top of that, she has to pay $100 a month in child support. This agreement was signed on June 27th, 2016. But just months later, Justin, Greg Mulvihill is awarded a temporary restraining order. Things have gotten worse despite the agreement, despite the settlement.
And now Greg is filing the restraining order. So it's obviously a bitter separation. And that's when Diana starts looking for other options, right?
That's right.
So her new boyfriend, McDavid, tells her to buy a track phone so he would be able to call Greg without it being traced back to him. And they start discussing how they're going to get Greg out of the picture, if you will.
But a track phone like that, Justin, you already know this is bad news. And Diana does that. She buys the phone. Then Weldon performs reconnaissance at a secluded area. He's looking for the right spot where he can essentially set a trap for Greg Mulvihill.
Yeah. And it's claimed that Diana offered to pay McDavid $1,000 up front and then $1,000 after the job was done. So $2,000, Aaron.
For a human life, allegedly, that seems cheap.
It's September 1st of 2016 when Weldon McDavid calls Diana and said he was ready to get this over with. And he asked Diana to meet him at a park and ride in Carlsbad. They met and Diana drove him up this, you know, side of this mountain, kind of more of a hill, into this secluded area. You know, Diana even brought a couple towels with her. So they, I guess, McDavid could, I guess, lay on these or use them to wipe the sweat off his brow, something like that. I don't know.
There was also this idea that maybe if Greg saw these towels, that he would realize whoever this person was that invited him out to the area had access to his son if he had his son's towels, because he would recognize them.
And of course, McDavid is going to call Greg. He will identify himself as a private investigator. He will tell Greg that he has documents that Greg would want to see regarding his custody battle. Now, Greg initially thinks this is a little weird, because why is a PI reaching out to him with documents? He didn't hire a private investigator. He didn't do anything. So Greg is a little on edge about this. And Greg actually will end up calling the police and saying, is this normal? And whoever answered said, well, it's a little abnormal for them to reach out to you, but for the most part, that's what private investigators do, is they sell you information that you can use. So Greg accepts that this is legit.
Right. And that's just it, though. It's, I'll show you some of the information, but if you want more, or if you want all of it, there will be some money involved here.
Yeah.
But that's enough to get his curiosity aroused, right? I mean, why does this guy have information like this? Greg doesn't think there's anything to worry about, but a call out of the blue like this, now he just has to know.
Yeah. And he's been put through the ringer with allegations that he abused his ex-wife and his own child. He's been living out of his car. So he's kind of been in a desperate situation. So he's definitely wanting to see what documents this person has.
Now, what do you think about Greg going out there with Jason? Because Jason's his boss, but obviously he trusts him. It seems like a smart idea, right? To bring someone with you, just in case.
Absolutely. I think Greg's spidey sense was still going off, and he didn't want to go meet somebody in a secluded area by himself. And also, I think most private detectives would not ask you to meet them on the side of a hill, you know, at a dead end of a road. They would probably just have you meet them at Starbucks or a local coffee shop and sit down and show you the stuff there. They wouldn't do it in some remote area. So I think Greg is thinking, I'm going to bring my friend along just in case.
This is one of the lessons of the case. If a PI says, meet me in a secluded area, don't go. If they say, meet me at Starbucks, just have your order ready.
Yeah. I mean, a public place where there's people around, at least you have witnesses to what's going on.
Greg arms himself with a flashlight, and Jason carries a baseball bat. They feel ready. It's going to be dark out there. They have some light, and they have a melee weapon. Now, Greg's using this flashlight as they're moving along, and he spots a towel. So he's looking around, and then Greg hears something. So he shines the light in the direction that he heard the noise, and he saw a person in what he would describe as in camo, lying on the ground, pointing a rifle at them. So, of course, you're seeing a rifle pointed at you. That's bad news. Greg says, hello, twice. And one of them yelled out, gun or run. Obviously, it was a chaotic situation because their lives are on the line now.
And that's when shots are fired. And Greg is hit, right?
Yeah, he said it felt like something hit him in the back. Most people haven't been shot, Justin, so it's an odd feeling.
Yeah.
But they managed to get away, and after Greg realizes he was actually hit by a bullet, they pull over and contact 911. This bullet had gone through his rib cage, so it went in and out of his body, right below his right armpit. And of course, at the hospital, they'll do a CT scan. And they'll see that this bullet hit him in an area that contains major arteries, nerve structures, and they removed two fragments from his back.
Greg obviously is very lucky because this bullet did go in and out, only leaving a few fragments, not hitting him in the heart, not hitting him in a lung, but it's still, he's been shot.
A lot of blood loss. So, of course, the police are wondering, why would Greg, who's a computer programmer, why would he be shot at by a sniper? It just doesn't make sense. So, of course, when Detective Scott Stallman is asking questions, Jason volunteers that there was a man claiming to be a PI who said, I can give you dirt on Diana that will help you with your divorce.
So, I mean, right there, this is tying Diana to this shooting. Yeah.
Well, Justin, how many times do we have to say it, right?
Not very smart.
Another good reason to have someone with you is they can talk for you. Obviously, Greg's trying to heal up at this hospital, and Jason can tell the detective all about this phone call, what happened that night, and he described the shooter.
He said the shooter fired at them and then got up and ran off.
The police acted very quickly, Justin, because the shooting happened around 11:15, and the police started shutting down roads. They were trying to get people to stay inside so they could look for the shooter, and they had SWAT on scene.
And they go to the area where the shooting happened, and they find a couple towels, right?
Yes. One of the towels, though, had been used to clean up after an accident.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. I'm sure people can figure that out. But leaving stuff at the scene like this, not just towels, but what else did they find?
They found an empty case from the rifle. Apparently, it was an AR-15 rifle. So when you find this casing, well, now you have something that you can match back to a gun.
And it was kind of surprising for the police because they just couldn't put this story together in their heads. Greg Mulvihill being targeted by a sniper.
Yeah.
Just didn't make sense. But now they're starting to find some evidence that something did happen out there. And then you have Jason as a witness.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called StoryWorth. StoryWorth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or grandmother for years to come. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. What was your favorite toy as a child? Or what's your favorite memory of your grandmother? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. After a year of responses, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. My mom completed her story, and each of her kids now has a copy to read and share with their kids. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/GenY. That's StoryWorth.com/GenY to save $10 on your first purchase. So, of course, Justin, who are they going to look at? Despite the name being dropped about Diana, they're going to focus on her because she's Greg's wife, and they know all about the bitter divorce.
This is not rocket science for them. They're going to learn about this track phone, this burner phone that was used because Greg got a phone call. And so they're going to track that phone back. Oh, where was it purchased? Okay, it was purchased from Best Buy. When was it purchased? It was purchased on August 15th at 2016. Let's pull up the surveillance video and see who bought that phone. Like, it's can't make it much easier, right?
Well, you say that, Justin, but we've covered cases where we were wondering why detectives didn't search for video.
Yeah.
Didn't ask the right questions. Here, you might say this is easy work, but the police are doing everything. They're dotting their I's, they're crossing their T's, they're getting the video that shows Diana buying this track phone. In fact, the video is clear enough, they know what she's wearing. So the next step is they're going to search her home, and they find the clothes that she was wearing at the Best Buy. And they also find towels that match the towels at the crime scene, because oftentimes when you're buying towels, you buy them in sets.
Yeah, because she's very frugal with what she buys.
So obviously, they take things from her home, including her computer. What's odd is we always wonder if someone's going to be part of a crime, allegedly, they have interesting search histories, right? And the one on Diana's computer showed that she was looking up information on moon phases. So she was figuring out when it would be darkest out. And apparently it's when there's a new moon. So I guess they were trying to figure out when to set this ambush up. And by them, well, it's Diana Lovejoy and Weldon McDavid.
Yeah.
So Weldon McDavid is a name they can look up. And because they found this dirty towel, they tested it for DNA and they got his DNA and it matched.
Yeah.
So they can place Weldon McDavid at this ambush scene. So now they're going to question these two.
So they're going to be calling Weldon in for an interrogation.
But when they talk to Diana, it doesn't take her long before she admits buying the phone. And she also admits that she and Weldon had an affair. But according to her, he was involved because he felt bad for her. He felt it was wrong that Greg should have any custody of their son.
Because of all the alleged abuse and all that stuff, yeah.
Yes. And according to Felix Salazar, who is with the Carlsbad police, he said, McDavid told her that he would protect her and help her out with the custody battle and put together this idea of luring him to an area where McDavid can scare him and then she can get custody of her son. Justin, when you think about that statement that McDavid is going to scare Greg so that Greg will say, you can have full custody, does that make any sense to you?
No, because you scare somebody with a gun, you're committing a pretty serious crime. Regardless of whether you pull the trigger or not, you can go to jail for a very long time for doing that. And I don't, you know, you can say whatever you want. We were just going to scare him. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of ways to do that. And telling someone to go to a secluded area in the middle of the night with an AR-15 and you're wearing camouflage and you're not standing there waiting for him, it just, the story doesn't really add up, does it?
No. When they searched McDavid's home, they found he had many weapons and they also found AR-15 parts, an upper assembly of one, which was under some foam and sleeping bags on a garage shelf. Now, what's interesting is this one had a suppressor and a brass catcher attached to it. What's a brass catcher?
So when you fire an AR-15 or most weapons, it ejects the shell, the empty shell or the case. So the brass catcher would catch the empty shell so you don't leave anything at the scene.
Or at least that's the aim of it, right?
Yeah.
They also found a camo jacket and pants, which seemed to have dirt and plant material on them. So they're finding that everything is adding together real easy here. So the next step is to arrest both Diana Lovejoy and Weldon McDavid for attempted murder, conspiracy, assault with a deadly weapon, and assault with great bodily injury. Because even though Greg's not dead, well, that's a serious injury that he suffered from being shot.
Mm-hmm. So they are going through trying to track these people's movements before, you know, leading up to the shooting and finding out what their plan was, you know, the plot to kill Greg. And it's reported on that they even looked for a burial site for Greg. And that's pretty grim.
They also found out that Diana drove McDavid to the spot and she would pick him up later. Now, there's a cell tower not too far from this secluded area, so they can actually place Diana and Weldon's phones near that area the night of the shooting.
And so they bring Weldon McDavid in for a police interview, and they're asking him if he knows Diana, and he's saying, well, I know her. And then they're asking him, where were you on the night of? And he's saying, I was at home eating my McNuggets or whatever. And they're saying, well, if you were at home, then can we see your phone to prove where you were at? And then at that point, Weldon just goes, oh, no, you can't get my phone. I mean, you're trying to accuse me of something I didn't do. And then the detectives say, well, how would your DNA be found at this scene? Like, this is a pretty secluded area. You would know if you were there. And then Weldon, of course, turns around and goes, oh, well, you know, I was on a hike. I was jogging and I had to go really bad. And so, you know, nature called and I had to go do this. And then I must have cleaned up. And the police are just going like, you just happened to have a towel with you. You just happened to be in the same exact area on a hike and have an accident. Like, his whole entire story just falls apart during this interrogation. It's not funny because it's a horrible situation, but like, when you watch interrogations like this, you understand that you usually don't need a polygraph test. You usually don't need enhanced interrogation methods, because something like this is just so obvious. Like, his story does not add up. He won't let them see his phone. You know, he changes his story once they're like, we have your DNA at the scene. And then, oh, I happen to be there. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense.
On a towel from Lovejoy's house. Yeah, it's just, what are the odds? But that was all before they were arrested, of course. And Diana and Weldon, they still plead not guilty. They're held on $2 million bail. Now, Diana and Greg's divorce was official on January 4th, 2017. And the very next week, Greg Mulvihill filed a civil suit against his former wife seeking damages. And that went well for him, didn't it?
Yeah, as he should, right?
May 2017, a judge ordered $230,000 from the sale of the Carlsbad house to go into a trust. And the interest on this trust was $575 a month paid to Diana. Because of this monthly amount, the judge ordered that she would have to keep paying child support, healthcare, and daycare costs to Greg, about $143 a month.
She thought she was going to get out of paying, you know, what was it, $120,000 and $100 a month. She thought, I'll pay this guy $2,000. The problem will be taken care of. Like, I don't know what world they live in, but that's the world she was living in.
Now, the deputy district attorney, he came out firing during this trial because he wanted to let the jury know that Greg had suffered. I mean, Diana had made allegations that he had assaulted her and molested their son. And so he was trying to recover from that. He was trying to reclaim his life. And they were going through this bitter divorce. But he was also setting up how Diana used this friendship slash affair with Weldon McDavid to try and end Greg Mulvihill. And he set up all the evidence for them to see, right? Talking about the towel, talking about the shell casing, talking about finding the AR-15 parts in McDavid's garage, and even finding the spent shell casings, the rest of them, in a bag at the house.
This prosecutor was so sure of his case that he actually tries them together, not even separately.
And the time of this ambush was, well, it was timed for a reason because Greg was just weeks away from having equal custody of his son and getting a $20,000 settlement from Diana. So obviously they want to set up for the jury what this call was like to Greg Mulvihill. And we talked about it before, but once again, it's just, there's a guy claiming to be a PI. I've got information on Diana that you'll want to see. I can show you some so you'll understand this is real. And if you want the rest, I'll need some money. But some people said that this caller said he had incriminating evidence against Greg. And so depending on who you ask, you know, the story might change from he had information on Diana or he had information on Greg. Either way, Greg wanted to find out what was up. But I never got the sense that Greg really believed that the information was going to be real. I think he was just curious, like, what was this? But he was expecting to see a package. So when he saw the rifle, that was kind of a shock because he was expecting to see a package taped to a power pole. That's at least what the PI had said.
Go out to this secluded area in the middle of the night and there'll be a package taped to a pole. Like, what? I mean, I would be intrigued too, but that's not how things work.
Now, Weldon McDavid's attorney, Ricky Crawford, was coming out with this idea that Weldon didn't intend to kill Greg Mulvihill because he's a trained marksman. He's a former Marine. If he wanted to kill someone, they wouldn't have made it. They would have been killed.
I mean, this is the worst defense, Aaron. I mean, McDavid says, oh, I just got my McRifle and went out there to scare him. Come on. And then to say, if I wanted them dead, they would be dead. Well, he shot him. Shooting somebody through the chest is not a scare tactic. In fact, he missed vital organs by chance, by sheer chance. He was intending to kill Greg. And this, it's just such a stupid thing to say, like, if I wanted someone dead, they would be dead. Well, that's the worst defense. Like, don't ever use that. Don't ever say that, because at that point, you're admitting that you truly just wanted to kill somebody, in my mind.
Well, and it's worse because, like you said, he actually did hit his target.
Yeah.
I mean, if he had missed completely, maybe he could have said this, and I guess you could think about it, but seriously, he shot him in the chest.
Of course, Greg and his defense are trying to say, well, he shot at him, and then when they ran away, McDavid ran away too, so that he didn't pursue them. But again, this wasn't a scare tactic.
But Justin, his attorney, brings in multiple witnesses who talk about how good of a shot Weldon is.
I guess the defense attorney is trying to do what they do in this case, but I think this is the worst defense ever. I think he should have just said he was trying to scare this person and that's it. Just leave it at that. But the more you bring up how deadly and dangerous this person is, the more you're just scaring the jurors. The more the jurors are just going to be like, wow, you're a terrible person. I'm probably going to find you guilty.
Yeah, I had it in my head that they would think, no, this is the guy that would do this.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to brag about how good he is. And now he's saying, oh, well, I didn't intend to shoot him. I mean, McDavid does testify in his own defense. He talks about how he's been an instructor for many years, for 17 years at that point. He had joined the Marines in 97 and left in 2009. You know, obviously he's got shooting skills, Justin. We're not saying he doesn't. In fact, I think what we're saying is he's a great shot. He meant to hit his target. That's at least our take on it. And he did hit his target. He just didn't kill Greg Mulvihill. And like you said, it's chance.
Sometimes people are lucky. And sometimes they're really unlucky. And Greg was lucky that day.
So McDavid actually says in court, anybody who's not guilty of child abuse, in my mind, would not come out at night to meet someone or to pick up any evidence that they didn't know where it came from. So he's saying that by Greg going out there, he's admitting that he knows he's guilty of something and wants to make sure no one else has that information.
Something that Greg was cleared of by the courts to the point where she had to pay him child support money. I mean, again, this is what defense attorneys got to do for their clients. And that's why their job is really hard, because they got to defend people like this.
Honestly, I can't come up with a way to defend Weldon McDavid in this case, Justin. I mean, you put together the track phone, the fact that he brought an AR-15 and dressed in camo and set up an ambush point to allegedly kill Greg Mulvihill. That's what it looks like. And he was out there long enough that he had to go to the bathroom. And so he used one of those towels. I mean, this is a total setup for murder. That's what it looks like for anybody looking at this. How do you defend someone like that? You can't claim he didn't have the gun. They found the gun. You can't claim he doesn't do this stuff. He's used guns for many years. He's a former soldier. He's a firearms instructor. And he has a history with Diana Lovejoy, who is the, well, by then, ex-wife of Greg Mulvihill. It all adds up. There's no way to get around this. I'm not even sure why they went to trial, Justin. I think they should have thrown themselves at the mercy of the court. But I will say, if anybody watches any of the trial footage, and it's out there, because we're about to talk more about Diana Lovejoy soon, just look at the expressions on her face. She definitely seems like she thinks that she's not going to be found guilty. That's the only way I can put it.
Yeah, she's lived a very privileged life, and she thinks that's not going to change.
She couldn't imagine it changing. So, of course, during trial, they present all this information about the actual ambush and this and that, and McDavid claims that he was trying to hit this light that he saw, because he thought that Greg had a gun.
Yeah. So he was aiming at the flashlight and instead hit Greg. Whatever.
He said that hitting Greg was an accuracy error. And then he went on to say, I could hit that person center mass 100 yards away without any problem. So once again, he falls back on his, I'm an excellent shot. Like you said, that's not a path to getting out of there unscathed.
It doesn't explain why he set Greg up to meet him out there. It doesn't explain why he was the one waiting with a rifle. You can't go somewhere and set up an ambush point and then claim self-defense when somebody shows up that you're intending to shoot. Like, that just, again, they're trying their best here, defending the indefensible.
But one of the best moments of the trial was when the prosecution called on Sergeant Greg White. He was a firearms specialist with the Carlsbad Police Department. And they asked him, if McDavid were really aiming at this flashlight that was in Greg's hand, where would you expect that bullet to go if he's such a great shot? And he went on to say, I'd expect Weldon McDavid to shoot Greg in the hand, not in the armpit. Because if this guy's that good of a shot, well, he'd shoot where he intended to shoot. So how is it an accuracy error if you're hitting someone in the chest rather than the hand?
The fact that they even put this guy on the stand to counter it, I'm glad they did, because
it's gold.
Yeah.
Because that whole time, Weldon McDavid, you know, his attorney, himself, they keep talking about how great a shot he is. You have one expert come on and say, no, if he was that good of a shot, he would have hit him in the flashlight or the hand, not in the chest. That says it all. So where does this go? November 13th, 2017. The verdicts come in.
I'm glad that this isn't a surprise. I'm glad that things worked out as expected. They are found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder and attempted murder. And Aaron, when they're reading off the verdict, Diana is sitting there, and then all of a sudden her eyes kind of roll back into her head, and you hear this thump. As her head hits the desk, she faints, and then she is grabbed by like the bailiff and her lawyer.
The bailiff can't even keep her up. I mean, she goes to the floor. She was completely out.
She has to be taken out of the courtroom via a gurney. Like they call paramedics to take her out because could she have had a heart attack or something? Maybe, but she fainted. And there is some controversy here, Aaron, over whether she was faking it or not. And I honestly couldn't tell you because she is such a bad actress in her YouTube videos. And this looks so ridiculous. I can't tell because it seems within the realm of belief that she just looks that ridiculous when she faints to me. But that's not really the point of this verdict, is it?
No, I kind of feel like it was a real faint. She doesn't start to faint until Weldon McDavid's verdict is read. She sits there for hers, but she seems to be, I almost felt like she stopped breathing. Does that make sense? She is a mother. I have no doubt she loves her child, her son. And just this, as I said at the beginning, this don't get greedy. She gambled everything to try and take everything from Greg, his son, the money, everything. She wanted him destroyed and she lost. So this is irony at its best. She did everything to stop Greg. And in the end, Greg gets everything. She couldn't handle that.
Panic attack. She stopped breathing. It's totally believable to me.
So Diana Lovejoy on January 31st is sentenced to 26 years to life in prison. And that same year in 2018, Weldon McDavid received 50 years to life because he's the one who pulled the trigger on that rifle. And, well, he had a statement, right? He said, "There was no intent to kill. That's not who I am. I have seen so many things go wrong with this system. This system is broken. The jury got it wrong." Those are some of his statements, Justin.
Well, you can't set up a McDeath trap with your McRifle and then claim self-defense or claim that somebody else is guilty of abuse towards a child when there's absolutely no proof or evidence of it.
I don't know how that absolves him of any wrongdoing. I think he doesn't understand the law.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better. Notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Another interesting point is made because Diana says during her sentencing that she didn't have a voice at trial. She said, "I would never take my son's father away from him. I would never be able to do that." And she also accused detectives of lying.
About what?
I don't know. I think, you know, and the court responded because they said that she did have all the time she wanted to have a voice at trial. She just chose not to. She didn't get up there. I mean, she didn't even really have a defense at trial because there's no way to defend any of this.
No. And that's where I just look at McDavid tried to defend himself. He at least came up with an alternative story to what was the intended outcome, which is unbelievable, but at least he gave some sort of explanation. She didn't even say this was all his idea and I didn't have any part of it. She didn't even give that. It was just, yeah, well, I'm the one that bought the phone.
She made the statement that the higher reality of what we intended to do hopefully will come out. I believe it will someday, something to that effect. But she never explains any of this. And I would say it's because she doesn't have anything to say here, Justin. She's talking because she's upset. She realizes she's lost everything. And another great thing that happens is this district attorney goes on to talk about how this was all a manipulation. It was all a setup by Diana to get sole custody of the couple's son. So when you have someone who's gone through hell like Greg Mulvihill has, And then you have a district attorney after trial coming out and speaking on his behalf. I think that's all part of the recovery, you know, because this is not stuff you can just walk away from. It hurts having these allegations made against you.
They're really trying to clear Greg's name and reputation.
So Weldon McDavid did an interview with Dateline in 2018, Justin. What did he say?
He said, "It, the affair, was totally unsatisfying. If I could only take back one thing, I would take that out of the equation." That's not showing remorse.
No, it's really interesting because what he's getting at here is he felt like he hurt his wife, and that's what he regrets. I think what he's doing here, Justin, is not only is he saying, "I love my wife," but he's saying that he would defend any woman who was in Diana Lovejoy's situation. But he's there to defend women who have been abused. That's very clear to me. I don't know if anyone else has listened to any of his words since this trial, but that's what comes across to me anyway.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I took it in a much more inappropriate way, saying that his relationship with Diana wasn't that good. So, but I think you nailed it on the head.
Yeah. It's just not good on retrospect. Also, Dateline had asked if Diana had manipulated him. He said no. He said he wanted to help her and her son.
He's just playing the do-gooder role. I had good intentions, and this person was bad, and I was helping a mother going through a terrible situation. But
in July of 2020, well, appeals are heard for Diana Lovejoy and Weldon McDavid.
This is where it gets a little interesting, right, Aaron? McDavid's sentence is vacated, and he's remanded for resentencing. This isn't out of the ordinary. It's not like he's being let go on all charges. They're just looking at how he was sentenced, because originally he got 50 years to life. So now they're looking at this and just trying to figure out, was that too harsh? Was that not enough? It's just more of a reanalysis of his actual sentence, but it doesn't mean he's getting to walk free.
So when this finally got settled, Justin, for resentencing, the court declined to follow through on this, and his original sentence, it was reimposed. So nothing changed in the end.
They could have shifted around some charges and some technicalities, but he's staying behind bars for the same amount of time. Got it.
Yeah, there's some legal reasons why this even got to that point, but none of them are because he had a real argument, I don't think. But I would say, Justin, because of the way that he talks about this case, I'm kind of surprised that this didn't happen before with him.
Yeah. I mean, he's so gung-ho about bragging about his abilities and what he can do and how he's a protector of women. And there are other women that he had in previous years been their weapons instructor, and they told him similar stories. So I, like you, I'm a little surprised myself that he hadn't taken it upon himself to go vigilante on somebody before this.
And I know that there's actually evidence out there that he was this kind of person, that he wanted to help women who had made allegations against their husbands, you know, regarding sexual assault and abuse. And in fact, there was an interview with McDavid in 2013 where he was asked about a woman named Crystal Harris, and she was going through a bitter divorce. She had claimed that her husband had abused her, and so McDavid said that he was there to help her. So she went through firearms training with him, and they showed footage of them together on Dateline. McDavid was right there, just past her shoulder, looking on.
And McDavid would ask her things like, "Are you willing to kill him? Are you willing to pull the trigger?" You can take that in a, well, if you're going to defend yourself with a gun, then yeah, you're going to have to use deadly force. But now, in hindsight, it just seems pretty dark.
This is a situation, like I said before, Justin, where Diana Lovejoy got greedy. She wanted it all. And what happens when you gamble, you know?
You lose it all. She should have stuck to her YouTube channel.
Never miss an episode of Generation Y. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you're listening right now. After subscribing, please leave us a review. Our website is genypod.com. Visit to learn more about events and updates. Justin and I have other podcasts. Mine is Framed, an Investigative Story. Each season is a deep dive into a case that went wrong and why. Justin's other podcast is The Peripheral. His podcast is a safe space for listeners and their stories. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.